The women were screaming outside, afraid to go in. "Leave that boy at once," said a voice in the outer compound. It was Okonkwo's uncle, Uchendu. "Are you mad?" Okonkwo did not answer, but he left hold of Woye, who walked away and never returned. He went back to the church and told Mr. Kiaga that he had decided to go to Umuofia, where the white missionary had set up a school to teach young Christians to read and write. Mr. Kiaga's joy was very great. "Blessed is he who forsakes his father and his mother for my sake," he intoned. "Those that hear my words are my father and my mother." Woye did not fully understand, but he was happy to leave his father. He would return later to his mother and his brothers and sisters and convert them to the new faith. As Okonkwo sat in his house that night, gazing into a log fire, he thought over the matter. A sudden fury rose within him, and he felt a strong desire to take up his machete, go to the church, and wipe out the entire vile and miscreant gang. But, on further thought, he told himself that Woye was not worth fighting for. "Why," he cried in his heart, "should he, Okonkwo, of all people, be cursed with such a son?" He saw clearly in it the finger of his personal god or chi. For how else could he explain his great misfortune and exile, and now his despicable son's behavior? Now that he had time to think of it, his son's crime stood out in its stark enormity. Page 153. To abandon the gods of one's father and go about with a lot of effeminate men clucking like old hens was the very depth of abomination. Suppose when he died, all his male children decided to follow Woye's steps and abandon their ancestors. Okonkwo felt a cold shudder run through him at the terrible prospect, like the prospect of annihilation. He saw himself and his fathers crowding round their ancestral shrine, waiting in vain for worship and sacrifice, and finding nothing but ashes of bygone days, and his children the while praying to the white man's god. If such a thing were ever to happen, he, Okonkwo, would wipe them off the face of the earth. Okonkwo was popularly called the Roaring Flame. As he looked into the log fire, he recalled the name. He was a flaming fire. How, then, could he have begotten a son like Woye, degenerate and effeminate? Perhaps he was not his son. No, he could not be. His wife had played him false. He would teach her. But Woye resembled his grandfather, Unoka, who was Okonkwo's father. He pushed the thought out of his mind. He, Okonkwo, was called a flaming fire. How could he have begotten a woman for a son? At Woye's age, Okonkwo had already become famous throughout Umuofia for his wrestling and his fearlessness. He sighed heavily, and, as if in sympathy, the smoldering log also sighed. And immediately Okonkwo's eyes were opened, and he saw the whole matter clearly. Living fire begets cold, impotent ash. He sighed again, deeply.